Praise the Lord. This morning, would you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, Luke 18. Just a few scriptures, verses 9 through 14. It deals with the problem in delusion of self-righteousness, which is rooted in pride. It's part of our carnal nature. This morning, as we look at this parable, one in which it involves a Pharisee and a tax collector in an act of worship, it's the exposure of spiritual pride and its root in fruit. Its root is the measurement of self by other men, comparing ourselves to others. God is not in the thought. In the scriptures, we find the seraphims, I believe it's in Revelation, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." The mind is not occupied with him and his holiness. It looks around rather than above. And as we read this scripture, I trust the Holy Spirit will deal with us. He has dealt with me. In the 9th verse, we find, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Publicans were tax collectors. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." As we look at these two main characters, the Pharisee, they were a prominent sect in Judaism whose religious practices were strict. They labored diligently to observe all the Testament, the Old Testament law. And they even went beyond the scriptures. The law of Moses said to fast once a year. They fasted twice a week. The law said to tithe their grain, to give the Lord 10% of their wheat and barley. The Pharisees tithe their herbs as well in matters of religious practice. They were highly scrupulous, careful to do all that the law required. Now, for us who have read the gospel, when we hear the word Pharisee, perhaps the word hypocrite comes to mind. And Jesus was setting them up in a way in this parable. But the first century audience, their initial reaction would have been precisely the opposite. They held the Pharisees up. They revered them. They were highly respected. They weren't mocked. On the contrary, they were admired as pious, devout men. In Matthew, it says, "The place of honor, they received the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace. On the other hand, the hearers would have been angered at the tax collector, the publican. They were despised of all men. The Jews hated the tax collectors because they were collecting taxes. They were supported by the military. They were under the control of Rome and supported by the military of Rome. So they could extort whatever they felt. As long as Rome got their cut, they didn't care. But they preyed on the weak and those who were just suffering in poverty. They were seen both as dishonest and treasonous, corrupt men who sold out their brothers for the sake of riches. So the answer, the reaction to the publican would have been one of anger by those first century observers. But the publicans were lifted up. They were confident, the Pharisees, in their own righteousness. They're self-righteous people that are seldom content merely to reflect on their own goodness. They also had to just put other people down. And that's part of the problem, is comparing ourselves, comparing themselves like this Pharisee did to others. I'm better than they are. This self-righteousness is relative, because you see, none of us are righteous. None of us. None of us. The word says all have sinned and come short of the glory. If the requirement for acceptance by God is perfect holiness, we have no chance. And here, this Pharisee was putting down this tax collector. And that's why this righteousness, self-righteousness, always goes hand in hand with judgment and critical attitude. If you notice, people that are, you can characterize as self-righteous, have a critical attitude. It seems to be characteristic. If I were to walk up to 10 people and ask them, why should you be allowed into the entrance of the kingdom of heaven? I would bet that 8 would say, because I'm a good person. How is it that we can deceive ourselves so much that we actually believe we are good people in light of all the things we have done? Well, that sounds pretty harsh, Brother Ryan. Well, hold on a minute. Let's try an exercise. Have you ever stolen anything? Ever used the Lord's name in vain even once? Ever murdered someone with your words? Ever committed adultery in your mind? Ever lied even once? I think the answer for all of us is yes, we have. Let's be real honest here. Today we may say, well, I go to a church that preaches the truth and the full gospel. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost for so many years. I attend church regularly. I support the church financially and give to other worthy causes or religious causes. I know the real truth. I believe in the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not like others. I don't have addictions. Does it work? It never has. It's all like a resume, as opposed to actual lifestyle. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a little better than someone else, because we're never going to be good enough in our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ by faith. Praise God. You can't be saved by your own works. Many people I hear, and you've probably heard them too, well, they're good people. I'm a good person. I obey the laws, etc., etc. But that's not it. It's the righteousness of Christ that comes by faith. You see, the truth is every one of us is subject to spiritual pride. Every one of us, there's a danger of the temptation of spiritual pride. And the longer we're in the Lord, I think that becomes a temptation. It could. And I think especially for the leadership, pastors, deacons, elders, Sunday school teachers, look what I'm doing for the Lord. Look at what I've done. You remember that comedian Jeff Foxworthy had that famous routine, you might be a redneck if. I don't know if you remember some of those. You might be a redneck if directions to your house include the phrase, turn off the paved road. There's a bunch of them. You might be a redneck if you think the last words to the Star Spangled Banner are, gentlemen, start your engines. Likewise, you might be a Pharisee if you spend more time talking about sins of others than do in repenting and confessing your own. Consider the prayer of this Pharisee. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of what I have. He stood in the synagogue, wanted to be seen, prayed to himself, it says here. And it was really, literally means he was praying in silent. But in reality, he was praying to himself, because what he asks, what he speaks of in this prayer was not anything of asking or gratitude, but it was like a resume. I'm not like other people. I'm not a swindler. I'm not this, I'm not that. It's all self-justification of what he was. Was it true what he said? Sure. It was true. And again, what's the problem then? Why didn't God consider him to be justified or righteous? Because he was praying, in his prayer he was boasting. He wasn't seeking anything from God, and certainly not righteousness. He was bringing his self-righteousness to God and asking God to look at what a wonderful servant you have, in so many words. Self-congratulations, the whole speech. God doesn't desire us to come before him with our achievements, The psalmist says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings, the sacrifices of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, it says, For this is what the high and lofty one says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. In Isaiah 66, Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. What pleases God? Not our ability or sufficiency, but our emptiness. God desires that we acknowledge our sin and guilt and the need of forgiveness. God desires that we come before him not with foolish self-confidence, but broken in spirit, humbled by an awareness of how we fall short. When we pray, especially in our evening prayer before we retire, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me, I kind of look at that as, you know, in the corporate world and in most jobs, they have performance reviews. Over some period of time, it's yearly, some more often than that. But there's a time when you have to give an account, be accountable for your behavior. And to me, I think at the end of the day is a good time to examine ourselves and say, Lord, my actions, my behavior, my words, my thoughts, how were they? And we know because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit will convict you. If you're being really honest, and it takes courage to be honest, the Holy Spirit will convict. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. What did I do for the kingdom today? Did I have a burden for the lost souls? Have I confessed my sins before you? Have I looked into my heart and said, Lord, this I know displeases you? Or is it a perfunctory, quick prayer, jump into bed? I believe there's time for soul searching. Because when we want to draw closer to the Lord, we got to cast off self-righteousness. You see, some folks think, it's not the theology that's messed up about justification. We know that, you know, we're justified by Christ. The danger is that this attitude is for in the past when we first come to the Lord, but it should be a characteristic of every disciple. Lord, I need forgiveness. I'm broken every day. I've displeased you in some way. And maybe it's not, you know, an active displeasing, but a passive one. Maybe I didn't spend enough time in prayer. Maybe I didn't read the word, take up the word of God. Maybe I spent too much time looking at my favorite program or on my phone. As opposed to seeking God's face, Lord, change me. Help me. We become satisfied with where we are. I think of the Laodicean church. How would you characterize that church? Self-righteous. self-righteous. We have need of nothing. Everything's good. Everything's all right. It's not all right. We're not sinless. And this is not to put anyone down. This is to be honest with ourselves, to go before him and say, Lord, let me not get deluded by being, you know, self-righteous and being, well, look what we have. Look at the church and look at the truth we preach. That's fine, but that's not going to save you. If you don't exercise in it, if you don't live the life, you could go to the holiest church in the world. It's not going to save you. It's what you do, praise God. It's how you come before the Lord and like this publican. He couldn't even bring himself to look up because he felt so ashamed. Not that God condemns us, but he was humbled in his heart. Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And if the Lord withdraws his presence from us, we fall right back into the old habits. We accept our ways. We behave in such a manner. We do enough. Well, we're coming to church regularly and we're doing this and doing that and all the things that seem to make us pious, but that doesn't count. It's what's in the heart. What's in the heart, praise God. Lord, we want to see a change. I want to see a change in myself. I'm going to speak for me. Lord, let your spirit work in me in a deeper way. Let your Holy Spirit help me to overcome. Lord, take my weaknesses and make them strengths. Lord, send your anointing on this congregation. Bless us here, O God. We become accepting of our situation, satisfied. Well, we're okay. After all, we've been in business for 100 years. We're still preaching the same truth. What does that mean? That means nothing. If we're not actively participating, if we're not actively working for the ministry, if we're not actively engaged in the word, praise God. Don't you want to see a change? Don't you want to see God move? Laodicea became lukewarm. Everything was, oh, we're good. Everything's going fine. No, it's not going fine. There are souls out there that are in danger. We have loved ones in danger. And why do we say that? To condemn them? To be critical of them? No, that's not the point. We want to see them come to the Lord. We want to see them revived and restored in the faith. We want to see the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Because what counts is what deposit we have in our soul and our relationship with God when we close our eyes. Sometimes we think life is the most important priority. No, it's not. It's our relationship with God. Everything else is secondary. Oh, we got to do this and we got to do that. No, we got to get right with God. We got to allow the Spirit of God to move in our hearts. Have we really examined ourselves in light of the gospel, in light of the word? What does the word say? How can we take some of the attitudes and some of the positions that people take in light that it's contrary to the word of God? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in some forsake. Now, I know there's situations where people have problems and difficulties. That's not what I'm talking about. That's only one example. There's so many things. Lord, help us this morning. When's the last time you wept over sin? When you really examined yourself before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I should never have behaved in the way I did. No repentance. No confession. No acknowledgement. Without grace, we would be lost forever. No awareness of our need for forgiveness. Self-righteousness. It's insidious. It comes with the territory. It comes with age, being in the Lord so long. Well, look. Look at the history. I've been serving the Lord so many years. That's great. That doesn't justify you today or me. It's where are we spiritually with the Lord right now? That's what counts. We can talk about all the things we did and this and that and the other, and it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What's my relationship right now? If the rapture were to occur in this moment, how do you think you and I would fare? That's an individual question. Well, we living in fear. No, that's not the point. That's not it. The Holy Spirit is exhorting us and warning us, don't get caught up in this. Lord, help us this morning. Take away the self-satisfied attitude and cause us to examine ourselves honestly before the Lord. If you ask the question, how does the Lord look at this? How does God look at my behavior? How does God look at what's in my heart? No one can read that. How you feel about people or a person, nobody can read that, only God. How does he feel about that? I'm being very direct, but I don't know how to do it any other way. God's interested in our spiritual wellness, our spiritual success. He alerts us. He exhorts us. He loves us. He encourages us. And he points to areas that we need to address. You see how it all ties back to the work of the Holy Spirit and the humbleness of heart that we must have. We first came to the Lord, there was a humbleness. It was something that broke us. We saw in Christ's face, not literally, but in his presence, we saw our sinfulness. And in that moment, we just yielded and said, Lord, save me. Lord, work in my soul. And that should never change. We should continually look to him, Lord, help me. Because I still have this carnal nature within. The enemy of my soul is still after me. I still have frailties and weaknesses, and I need your strength every day. And I need the discernment and leading of the Holy Spirit. And I need to draw close to you. Do you ever question yourself? How am I doing? How does God look at this? Do you have the courage to do that? How does God look at my life? Am I doing things that please Him? Am I fighting the good faith? Am I edifying the body of Christ? Am I praying for my brothers and sisters? Am I trying to overcome division? Am I stopping all backbiting and slander? Am I lifting up my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I praying for their blessing? Do I want to see the church grow? Do I want to see lost souls? This isn't an organization where we're successful if we have 400 people come to church. That's not the issue. The issue is their spiritual well-being. The issue is surrender and being subject to God's scrutiny through the Holy Spirit. What kind of a prayer do you pray at the end of the day? Is it specific? Is it, Lord, forgive me of my sins? Or is it, Lord, I lost my temper today? Lord, I thought this about my brother, and I got very angry. Lord, I didn't pray for someone that needed prayer today. Lord, I didn't spend time in your word. These are very specific. I think we got to get to specifics. It's too easy to say, well, everything's good, I'm okay, and Lord, forgive me, help me, bless his food, and off we go. Word of God knows right where we are. And sometimes it's painful. And I say, Holy Spirit, continue to deal with us. Continue to deal with us. Lord, is my support for the church, I'm not talking financial, I mean spiritual support, is it there? Am I holding up the body of Christ? Am I praying for the leadership? Am I confessing my sins? Am I giving an account for how I've behaved? Am I obeying the word? This makes people uncomfortable. I understand that. But the Holy Spirit isn't interested in you being comfortable. He wants you to be holy. His desire is your spiritual well-being. Are you seeking the baptism fervently? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you exercising in the Spirit? Are you satisfied with the way things are? I hope you're not satisfied. I hope you're not satisfied this morning, because there's more to serving the Lord than what we have right now. Don't you want to see the gifts in operation? Don't you want to see the power of God fill this place up? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so hungry for God. Lord, look where we are. And look where we could be. Would you revive us again, oh God? Would you come with your power? Manifest your presence. Oh, praise the Lord. God wants our brokenness, our repentance, our confession. Awareness that we need forgiveness. Our weeping over sin. Oh, Father, help us this morning. Help us that we put off self-righteousness. We examine our hearts. Humble ourselves before Him. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May His name be praised. Amen.